Join us in the song. To Main Street United Methodist Church this morning, and we ask that you take the sign-in sheet that is located along the aisle on the pew, sign your name and address in, pass it down to the next person all the way down, pass it back, and then tear off the front sheet and put it in the offering plate as you go by, and be sure and say hello to your neighbors. Whether you know them or not, say hi. First of all, we have an information packet for all prayer warrior families. Anybody who is a prayer warrior, please remember to pick up your paperwork. It's going to be right outside the Amen corner. And if you would, please pick that up today, and that will save the church a lot of postage sending this out. Prayer Warrior Sunday will be within the next several weeks, and we want to make sure that everybody has the right paperwork completed. Wednesday, June 10th, will be the kickoff Family Summer Fun Day, and this is a church-wide celebration. This is not just for families with young children. We hope to have families of all ages there. It's going to be from 6 to 8 p.m. on Wednesday, June the 10th. At Drew and Andy Robinson's house. Directions will be in the church office. You can pick them up there or call in the church and we'll get them to you. Special guest that evening will be Tanner Smith. He is the founder of Tanner's Totes, which will be our Vacation Bible School mission project this year. He is a Clemson basketball player and has developed this wonderful mission project, and we are adopting that this year for our Vacation Bible School. Lists for information that will be included in the totes are in our information center, which is right outside the fellowship hall. June 15th through 19th is Vacation Bible School from 9 to 12. These are for two-year-olds through children who have completed the fifth grade. Registration forms can be found in the pew racks, or you can get those forms by calling the church office or going by there. Monday, June 29th, we will again be able to host the South Carolina Conference Youth Choir. Problem is, we need housing for 40 people. If you have an extra bedroom or two, please contact Larry Moore, our choir director, and let him know that you would be able to host a few people for that. This Saturday, June 6th, from 9 to 3, we will have our first annual Common Thread retreat. This is our prayer shawl ministry that we have begun this year at Main Street, and this will be, again, from 9 to 3 on this Saturday in the Susanna Wesley building. Cost will be $8. Call the church office to sign up and register for that. And just to remind you that the prayer shawl ministry will continue through the summer months on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. and on Thursdays at 12 noon in the Susanna Wesley building. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you. Those who are able, please stand as we prepare to worship Almighty God. There is no place we can go without God, when we are alone or when we are together. When we walk or when we fall. When we are in shadows or in the light. When we worship and when we turn away. God is here, always with us. Come, let us worship.
Seated, and I invite you to join me in our invocation as found in your bulletin. O God of truth and knowledge, let us never lose our sense of wonder about the world you have given us. Let us never see ourselves as too young, too old, or too wise to learn new lessons from you. Give us courage to judge ourselves and wisdom to learn from those you send to teach us. Teach us to surrender our wills, that we might seek yours and draw closer to your grace. Grant that we might always use your gifts to build a world where peace, justice, love, and hope reign in wisdom and in truth. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for today comes from the second chapter of Joel, verses 28 through 32. You can find this passage on page 1039 in the Old Testament section of the Pew Bible. In this passage, the prophet Joel warns of future cataclysmic times, but gives assurance that those who call on God will be saved. This passage is a text for the sermon that Peter delivered on Pentecost. Listen now for God's word to us. Then afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves in those days, I will pour out my spirit. I will show portions in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said. And among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. This is a word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Of God, when at the beginning of
Today's New Testament reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. You can find this on page 144 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. On the day of the Jewish festival of Pentecost, the 50th day after Passover, and the 10th day after the ascension of Jesus, the Holy Spirit inspires and inflames the gathered disciples of Jesus to witness boldly to the news of the resurrection of Jesus and its cosmic meaning to the pilgrims from every nation. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen now for God's word to us. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jew and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judah and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit among all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show potions in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
As we come to our time of prayer, I want to lift up a few concerns, and we have some thanksgivings as well. One of the thanksgivings is that Elizabeth Burns Gentry and Eric have their brand new baby girl, Emma Pearl. She has arrived and all is well, and I think Grandfather Jimmy is wearing a pink shirt in her honor. Where is he? Back there. That's almost Pentecost red. That's pink. Hazel Bennett is going to be having surgery in upcoming weeks on her shoulder, her injured shoulder. Also, let us be in prayer for Lisa Radcliffe, who is home from the hospital. Rob Roberts, recovering from surgery. Tina McDaniel, recovering from surgery. And another thanksgiving I want to add to the list of graduates, Bess Tunstall, a daughter of Billy and Bridget Tunstall, who graduated from law school in Charleston. Let us go together to God in prayer. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, on this Pentecost Sunday we celebrate uncomfortably the empowerment of your Holy Spirit. Uncomfortably because we want to measure and quantify and contain our world. But your Spirit blows where it will and we cannot control. Remind us that we are not in control here. We are not gatekeepers in your church or kingdom. We are not censors of your word where it speaks in ways we wish it wouldn't. We are those who wait and listen and then follow. Send your Spirit, Lord, we need comforting. Send your Spirit, Lord, we need guidance. Send your Spirit, Lord, we need courage. And we need direction. We pray your blessings on these graduates who set sail in stormy times. And we also pray that you bless those who mourn the loss of loved ones and those who mourn the loss of their dreams and financial security. We pray that you work things together for the good and you comfort those who are grieving. We pray also for the leaders of the nations of the world. There are so many agendas, there are so many voices, and so many egos seeking control and power. Lord, we pray that you give these leaders the openness to the influence of your Holy Spirit, that you guide them to make for the things that make for peace, for justice, for your will, and your light in the darkness of this world. Lord, we do now pray as your Son Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts.
God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray that you bless these tithes, these returns unto your church, to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for the children's message.
Good morning. Have you noticed something strange today? What is it? What is it? Is it me?
No.
It's all the red around here, right? It's Pentecost. Now, at Pentecost, we talk about God's Holy Spirit especially. But I want to teach y'all a little Hebrew lesson today. Absolutely no extra charge, okay? I want you to say this word. And if you say it right on the ending, it sounds like you're going to spit. But don't spit. It just sounds like it, all right? It goes like this. Ruach. Ruach. Say it. One, two, three. Ruach. You got it. Ruach. Well, that's a word in Hebrew. It means wind. It means breath, and it means spirit. Ruach, that's the word in Genesis about the spirit hovering over the deep. That's the same word that anyone who talks about God's Holy Spirit would use if they were talking about God's Holy Spirit in Hebrew. Ruach. Now, Jesus, in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, you've heard this before, he is saying goodbye to his disciples, and he said, "The Spirit is with you, and the Spirit will be in you." And so we talk about spirit being in something. I've got this balloon here. How do you make a balloon do what a balloon does? How do you make it? You blow? You blow? All right. Everybody blow at this balloon. Come on. Yeah, you're not blowing enough. Okay,
blow into it.
Into it. Jesus said the Spirit is with you on the outside. But the Spirit will be, he said to his disciples before he left, will be in you. So you think spirit, wind, breath does better when it's inside. Let's see if it does. Let's try it out. More?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I have a backup balloon. I thought some of those boys would encourage me to do a little more than I should do here. I had a backup balloon. Yeah, let's see. I had a backup. Well, my first choice was Duke Blue, but I have a Clemson Orange one, too. All right. Don't blow it?
No. Okay.
Wait a minute. This one's hard. Okay. We're going to be safe on this one. The Spirit in us can do something. The disciples became the apostles when they were told to wait in Jerusalem until they got the Spirit, and the Spirit guided them to go all out through the world. Now, this is Pentecost, and we are the church. We are the apostles today. We're the ones going all through the world. Some of us have actually been in different parts of the world, but we're also disciples wherever we are, spreading God's love and God's eternal hope, God's forgiveness and grace. But the Bible especially says that the Spirit goes where the Spirit wants to go and takes us where the Spirit wants us to take. We don't have a lot of control over it. So it's kind of like this. You just never know where the Spirit's going to have you go. But we are supposed to be open to that. So we celebrate Pentecost, that God is in control. We don't always know where we're going to go, but when we get there, we say, "All right, God, you promised. Give me power, give me courage, and I'll do whatever you need me to do wherever you take me." Now let's... Everybody grab somebody's hand, okay? Even if it's a preacher. So, all right. Okay. All right, let's have a prayer. I'll say the prayer, you say the amen, all right? Lord, we do thank you for your Spirit dwelling with us and in us. Give us direction. Give us courage to continue Jesus' ministry. And the people of God said, amen. One more time. Ruach.
Ruach.
Thank you. You did it good. Don't spit. There you go. Now, let us pass the peace carefully without sharing our colds. Gospel reading today is from the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter, beginning with verse 26. When the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. And verse 4 of chapter 16. But I have said these things to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you about them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate, the Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment, about sin because they do not believe in me, about righteousness because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer, about judgment because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. By way of an announcement, I do want to let you know that by next week, one way or the other, we should be on a new and very powerful radio station, Sunny 103.5. That'll take us into Georgia and a 12-county area. So everybody sing loud in the worship services and come and be a part of it. And then I will tell you, though, it's not going to be at 11 o'clock. It'll be at 12 o'clock. So imagine the convenience. If you think I said something I couldn't possibly have said, you can listen to it again over lunch and say, that is what he said. That will be, we hope, next week. Now, I want to ask, leave this mic on. I'm going to have to move around just a little bit. I want to tell a story, and it'll help if I move just a little bit. I don't normally move around that much, but I am today. A story about a Sunday school teacher who was talking to some young people and trying to describe to them what the world is really like, and he wanted to teach them about how to live in the world and how complicated the world was. So he told these three different groups. This is group number one. He told them that, first of all, they could not talk to each other. Group number one, he poured out a whole bunch of jigsaw puzzle pieces and he gave them the picture and told them, now no talking, but you have to put this together without saying a word to each other. Here's the picture. And they worked and were a little bit frustrated, but they made some progress. And then group number two, he poured out the puzzle pieces and he gave them a picture, but he didn't tell them. It was the wrong picture, and after a while, they got real frustrated, and somebody sailed the picture across the room. They were just angry, couldn't get anything to fit. The third set of young people, he poured out the puzzle pieces, and he gave them no picture at all, nothing. And they eventually just, threw up their hands, stared off in the distance, laid down, took a nap. And the lesson he was trying to tell them is that, you really have to have a picture, a goal of how things should be if you're going to get anything done in life. And in the world today, there are puzzle pieces all over. We need focus. We need direction. And Pentecost is about focus and direction. We've already heard that Pentecost is not a made-up Christian holiday. It's not about that particular day and we just somehow called it Pentecost. It was an existing Jewish holiday, a harvest festival called Pentecost. And it was on that day when the disciples got what they were told they would get when they waited in Jerusalem. The power of the Holy Spirit came upon them and gave them direction, gave them courage to continue Jesus' ministry. Now, we say that we, the church, continue Jesus' ministry, don't we? Do you reckon we could use some of that? Direction, power, and courage. I think we could. Pentecost promises that Jesus' Holy Spirit will give us both power and guidance and a picture of how things should be and the power to get there. It is a confusing world, sort of like those puzzle pieces with no picture. It's sort of a crazy world, and people do get mixed up about what matters and what is worthy to spend your life doing. And I read a kind of a funny illustration, true, about a man in Washington, D.C., who had sort of mixed up picture of how things should be and what information he made decisions upon. Well, this man, it seems, in Washington, D.C., got arrested. He had been robbing liquor stores all over the city. And the odd thing was, and they asked him when they caught him, how come you were robbing these liquor stores in the daytime? That's just a strange M.O. for a robber. The police asked him why he did this, and he said, are you kidding? It's not safe to walk around D.C. at night with that kind of money. You see, folks take little pieces of information, but bad picture, bad goals, bad decisions, and that ends up a bad ending. It's a crazy world. It is a confusing world that our graduates go out into, that we all go out into. There was a book written in the 90s by an author, David Myers, entitled The Pursuit of Happiness. And he studied all the data that he could get from 1957 up until the mid-90s. And he said per capita income in the U.S. from that time had more than doubled. And the number of Americans who reported being very happy didn't double. It remained exactly the same. And all the advances from 57 to the mid-90s in medical science and the achievements in technology and the increase in material wealth and prosperity hadn't supplied us with the answer to what we really want, our deepest yearnings, our deepest needs, to be happy and fulfilled. Never, he wrote, have we been so self-reliant and at the same time so lonely. Never have we been so free and yet our prisons overflowing. Never, he wrote, have we had so much education spread over the population, and yet the rates of teen imprisonment or incarceration, despair, and suicide have never been higher. Never have we been so sophisticated about pleasure and so likely to suffer broken or miserable marriages. It is a confusing world. We need a guide that we can depend on. And Christ working through the power of the Holy Spirit is that guide. I think the data is in. You talk to people, you read the news, interviews and studies such as the one I just cited. Money doesn't make us happy. Money is not the thing. The thing beyond just making a living, the thing that we're searching for that will give us fulfillment and a way to use our God-given talents and experiences, it's not money. Let me back up just a little bit to my title, Baptism by Fire. There are several meanings to that phrase, but the one that I'm shooting for, the one that I've seen, goes like this. It's when someone is dropped into an impossible situation with no training, no comprehension, and no idea how to handle what's going on or what to do. They call that a baptism by fire. Well, graduates, here you are. Here you are. The world is not a stable place as it once seemed to be. It used to be these were the rules and they work. You study hard, you get a degree, you get a job, you work for a good company, you buy a house on the lake, and you retire there and enjoy your grandbabies. I saw a cartoon last week and the caption was, "The future ain't what it used to be." But before I get all gloom and doom on Pentecost, I want to say to the graduates and to everybody, there's an advantage to this strange and wonderful time. This is the first time in my life where I think I can give this advice. You're free to be what you want to be. You can follow your bliss, your talents, your dreams, the direction of God's Spirit, because what was formerly a safe route that everybody did doesn't seem to be so safe anymore. You might as well do what your talents and your hearts tell you to do, because God's Spirit is calling us into all sorts of different things. And folks sometimes used to ignore those urgings and just do the safe thing. But you could be called into working with your hands, or into the culinary arts, or public speaking, communication, counseling, teaching, healing, you know, all sorts of things. Folks sometimes put all their calling on the back burner because they did what was safe and standard. Well, safe and standard aren't safe and standard anymore. I remember in my very first church, there was a young boy, a brilliant little 14-year-old who just knew he had a big future ahead of him. And he started telling me this. He was going to choose his career this way. He said, "Well, I know lawyers make such and such amount of money every year, so I might be a lawyer. And I know doctors make XYZ amount of money a year, so I might be a doctor. I'll be one of those." And I said, you know, to myself, those professions could not be more different. He was 14 and setting a trajectory for his entire life based purely upon how much he would make, with no consideration about whether he would help others or leave a mark on the world or whether it would even make him happy. What I'm trying to say to graduates and to all of us is that because the standard things are so iffy right now, we have the freedom, the graduates especially, to be non-standard. And some of us, careers are ending unexpectedly and new phases of our lives have to begin. We have the freedom to choose where we think God is leading us. As a preacher, especially on Pentecost, I would ask all of us to take very seriously to pray and to ask God to guide us, to lead us, to give us understanding about where we have been uniquely prepared and talented to be. Perhaps where even God needs us to be. When Bishop Williman was a chaplain at Duke University, one day he received a phone call from an irate father, tuition payer. I see all of them out there right now. The father said to Chaplain Williman, "It is all your fault He shouted on the phone, and Williman was puzzled, and he tried to get the story behind the anger. And it seems that his daughter was doing very well, moving on toward her medical degree, but she had withdrawn from medical school and decided to take training to serve as a missionary in a third world country. And the father was blaming Williman and his Christian influence because she came to the services that he preached at every Sunday. And he was blaming her, and Williman said, "Now wait a minute, I think it must be some your fault too." And the father said, "Mine?" And Williman said, "Yes." "And didn't you take her to church?" And the father said, "Well, yes." "And didn't you take her to Sunday school?" The father said, "Yes." "Didn't you make sure that she was confirmed?" The father said, "Yes." And Williman said, "Well, then what did you think was going to happen?" The dad complained, "But we're Presbyterian." And Williman said, "God's Spirit leads where it leads. We have no control when we open ourselves up to God. Even though we bring our children to church, we often do it as kind of a nod to God. We mostly serve the real world, doing what money and security tells us to do. But right now, I have to ask, where is that? Where is money and security found? It might be time to seek the leading of the Holy Spirit, as the disciples did before they journeyed out. Success might mean more than we thought it means. Maybe we should all seek the leading of God's Holy Spirit intentionally to find fulfillment and meaning and serve God. Who you listen to matters. Faith is listening to God over a lifetime. In the good times and the bad times and the scary times and the stable times, Pentecost says, wait upon God, listen to God, and God will give you power and direction and a picture of how things should be. And how you can make a difference as you put things together. The world and what the world says you should do changes daily. Faith is listening to God, being open to God's Spirit over a lifetime. This is what Jesus was talking about when he was saying to the disciples, "There are many things I have to share with you, but you can't bear them now." He talked about the Spirit being in us over a lifetime to help us understand the gospel, understand the scripture that we read. There is more to it than just the words. How many of you have had the experience, especially in disciple Bible study, where you've read the Bible more or less by rote, you've read your upper room, you put it down, but then when you really studied it in critical times in your life, you said, "I can't believe that. That was not in my Bible the last time I read this book." How many of you have had that experience? Good. That's the Spirit. You've changed. The Word stays the same, but the Spirit gives you a deeper understanding, what you need when you need it. And we do need a guide when we are approaching Scripture. Some things read literally. And in some ways, we can say, okay, that's an honest reading. But if it's not true to the teachings of Jesus, then that's not what you should be getting out of it. I want to give you an example of how something can be true literally, but at the same time, not true at all. It's an example outside of Scripture, but it'll give you the idea of what I'm talking about. In 1997, there was a 14-year-old student in Eagle Rock Junior High in Idaho named Nathan Zoner. And he won first prize at the Greater Idaho Falls Science Fair by showing how conditioned we have become to alarmist spreading fear through junk science. That was his premise. And in his project, he urged people to sign a petition demanding strict control or total elimination of the chemical dihydrogen monoxide. If you were at the 9 o'clock service, don't say anything. Dihydrogen monoxide. All of these statements are true, and this is why he said we needed to eliminate it or restrict it. One, it can cause excessive sweating and vomiting. True. It is a major component in acid rain. It needs to be done away with. It can cause severe burns in its gaseous state. accidental inhalation can kill you. It contributes to the erosion of our natural landscape. It decreases the effectiveness of automobile brakes. It is found in the tumors of terminal cancer patients. He asked 50 people at the science fair if they would support a ban. 43 of them said yes. 6 were undecided, and only one person knew that the chemical is water. Water. All of this is true. And what's even more sad is there is a website, dhmo.org. People are still signing the petition. Things in Scripture can be literally true, but false to Jesus' teaching at the same time. We do need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit when approaching God's Word for guidance. Pentecost is when the disciples, these wimps, became spiritual warriors. They got what they needed to cut through the confusion and the misunderstanding and get the clear picture of God, that God wanted them to do and what they were to do with their lives. And that's the second meaning of baptism by fire. The one that is implied in our United Methodist logo. If you look on the front of our hymnals, if you look in brick on the end of our building, our new Asbury Outreach Center, the logo shows a cross with a red flame. The red flame on our building and on our hymnal and on all of our publications says the Holy Spirit dwells in God's church and in God's people. May God empower and guide us today. Today, when more than ever, we need a clear picture, a direction, and the power and the courage to move in the direction that God is leading us. Amen. Amen. Now, it is also a very special day, more than just Pentecost Sunday. We have the presentation of the Chad Withard Scholarship. I'll invite Ryan forward for that, and then we'll recognize our graduates.
Thank you, Reverend Dennis. Each year, Main Street United Methodist Church awards a scholarship to a rising college freshman in memory of Chad Withard, the son of Mr. and Mrs. Dennis Withard. The recipient of the scholarship must display good character, Christian ideals, and a desire to continue their education. This year's recipient was born and raised here at Main Street United Methodist Church. She has participated in age-appropriate activities as a child and began serving as an acolyte and a crucifer as soon as she was old enough to do that. As a teenager, she has served at 4 Sakahatchee camps, participated in the talent shows, is active in UMYF, helps with children activities, and sings in the Main Point Praise Band. This fall, our recipient will begin her studies at Lander University, and I'm pleased to present this year's Chad Withard Scholarship to Mary Lyle Smith.
I'd like to invite all the graduates to sort of come down here before us, and we're going to hear about their plans for the future and perhaps if they'd like to share their influence from Main Street Church, from all of you. They will also be receiving a prayer shawl. I have to see who's going where. Sarah Kaysen, you're going to be going to Winthrop, okay, and your plans and what you'll study and just anything you want to say.
I'm just really thrilled to be going to Winthrop, and I'm not sure what my major is now, but I'm just really excited. And thank you for the congregation for supporting me, and especially the Pinckneys, because they've been a great help and support to me because they're my prayer warriors, and they've been awesome, so thank you.
That's a small gift from me. Okay. And Heather Faulkner going to the College of Charleston.
Yes.
Okay. Small gift from me.
Thank you. I plan on majoring in physical therapy at College of Charleston. They have a bridge program through MUSC, so I plan on doing that. And I just wanted to thank everybody for everything they've done for me. Thank you.
Okay. And Catherine Redfern is going to Furman.
I plan on majoring in elementary education and continuing for their master's program to get my master's in early childhood. So I'm pretty excited about that. And I just want to say thank you for all of you for supporting me through all these years.
And I hope you continue to sing. Okay. Mary Lyle, we've heard you're going to be going to Lander and your plans.
I'm not sure I'm going to major in yet. There's a lot of options, but I just wanted to thank everybody for supporting me through the years, and this church is a really big help and support to me and my family, so I appreciate it. Thank you.
Now Miranda Stockman is going to my alma mater, and where when I entered, as it was an all-male school in 1975, the very last year, and we were going to become gentlemen and scholars. I don't think you're going to become a gentleman, a scholar.
Oh, thank you. I plan on majoring in biology, and I want to go to vet school, so hopefully I can take a pre-vet track and go straight into it. But I just want to thank y'all. Y'all are like my second family, and I'm going to miss seeing y'all, and I thank you for all the prayers and support you've given me through all these years.
Let's give them all one more hand. Ask you to be seated now.
As the youth director, I wanted to say a few words to the parents and the graduates for the class of 2009. Parents and church, before you sit your children, the child whom you have raised, watched over, cared for, protected, taught, learned from, been angry with, tickled by, and laughed at, sometimes all at the same time. The child you have poured your life into and kept close to you because of your love for them. The child you have sacrificed for. They sit before you today, not as children, but as young women, ready to take the next step in life. A step away from the security of your life to begin to build a life of their own. They're ready to make their own sacrifices, ready to plot their own course, ready to meet the challenges that will face them. Rest in the comfort of knowing that you have taught them well. You've taught them to trust and rely on God for their direction and purpose in life. Rest also in the knowledge that God goes with and before them and that they're not alone. Continue to intercede for them in prayer. Continue to check up on them and ask about their well-being. After all, no matter how big they get, they still and will always be your little girls. They will still need you many years from now and will one day realize the wisdom and understanding that you now possess, even if they can't see it. Hold fast and trust them. Graduates, the affirmation is also the same for you. Hold fast. Hold fast to the lessons that you have learned and to the teachings of your family and your church. Hold fast to the Word of God in which there's life, direction, peace, prayer, comfort, exhortation, benefit, and ministry. Don't let the years that you have spent in training and preparation for this time pass into faded, darkened memory. Stand firm in the faith that you have received and filter every experience and decision that you make through its lenses. Be free enough to explore your new world, yet grounded enough to keep your feet on the right path. Everywhere you walk, you go with our prayers. Let everything you do glorify God. Let every word you speak honor him. Let every thought be guided by him, and he will make a way for you. We believe in you, and now we send you out into the world, not just to make a name and life for yourself, but also as missionaries. You will have to make sacrifices in life to achieve your dreams, and I hope that those sacrifices pay off. However, you will find that no sacrifice is more important or better rewarded than those you make for the cause of Christ. This is my prayer and blessing for you, that your dreams and his dreams become one dream, that your lives become so closely connected that those around you are unable to tell where yours ends and his begins, and that he will lead you and preserve you all the days of your lives. So we are very proud of you, and good luck and congratulations. Now, if you will stand, the graduates, if the graduates will stand, and if the rest of you, oh, actually, just kidding. The choir is going to sing an anthem, and this is for you.
Be not afraid, for I have redeemed you. Be not afraid, I have called you by name. When you pass through waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the floods, they will not devour you. When you walk through the fire, it will not be consumed. You are mine, you are precious in my sight. Be not afraid, for I have
Now, graduates, if you will stand, and congregation, if you will join me in the blessing of the graduates that's in your bulletin. We have passed on to you what we hold most dear, our faith, integrity, love, and belief. We will pray for you every time we think of you. Commit yourselves to Christ and never forget his love for you. Be courageous and live an exemplary life. We send you out with the understanding that we believe in you, that you will succeed. We have faith in you that you will remain true to our teachings and the word of God. We will be praying for you as you walk through the days of your life. May God be ever present with you and lead you in the paths of righteousness. Go in the peace of Christ. And now let's all stand. every week we end with the MIF benediction, and so we thought it was appropriate for the graduates and youth who are in the congregation, if you want to come forward and join us in the UMWF benediction.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.